We live in a world of superficial friendships. I've mentioned that. We live in a world of superficial relationships. How many of you would rather not speak or rather not share your opinion than hurt somebody's feelings? Or how many of you would rather not share your opinion because it means that you would have to explain yourself as to why that is your opinion? Essentially, we're superficial because as we look out at our relationships, often not hurting feelings is placed higher than truth. Now, this isn't a call for you guys to go out and just offend everybody you meet. But when we think about the placement of truth over the placement of personal feelings, we often choose to respect feelings rather than truth. Again, I'm not encouraging you to go from here and to walk around the city of Los Angeles and just issue your opinion on everything and speak on every matter that needs to be in your mind spoken of. Many of one's opinions ought not to be shared. Another proverb, the fool speaks his own heart. Not everything that you think is true needs to be said. And that's biblical. But at the same time, true and godly friendship is made up of a relationship where friends serve as counselors to one another. And what that means is that true friends are able to confront one another and to disagree with one another and to work through matters together that you wouldn't be able to work through if you didn't have that friend or if you were alone. That's part of why God has given us friends, so that they can offend us, so that they can challenge things that we think and even help sharpen us. Let me give you some examples of times you wouldn't necessarily want to work through matters with someone. You may not like the choice of someone's patterned shirt with their tie. And if that person is a stranger, you would say nothing. You just let it pass. Maybe it comes into your mind as, I think that's ugly. And that's the end of it. If it's a friend, you might say, what are you doing? And the way that you would say that comes off different. Let's go a little more serious. Your boss at work has a drinking problem. It's well known that she goes to the bar, and it's clear from everyone around her that her choice of beverage is affecting her personal life, even to the point where her marriage is failing. It's something that's talked about at the office. Do you confront her? Probably not. Probably not. Because your relationship status as worker and employer, or using the larger catechism's language of inferior and superior, you haven't earned the right to speak in that relationship, even if there's a serious problem. Let's say the person, the employer, is your friend. Does the scenario change? I hope so. If you have a friend that has a drinking problem and it's ruining his or her marriage, you open the scriptures, don't you? And you say, listen, the way you're living is wrong. And why can you do that? It's because you've earned that right. Because the relationship status is the status of a friend. You're able to encourage and to counsel. And you even have a responsibility as friends. Here's one more. You're sitting in a coffee shop and the couple next to you is having a conversation about a personal struggle. And because you are a lot like your pastor, you can't help but listen to the entire story and think about how you would handle the situation. And in that conversation that's happening next to you at the other table, you hear the advice given and you think, man, that's garbage advice. But it comes in your ear, you finish your overpriced latte, you go on with your day, and you probably have forgotten about that conversation in the coffee shop. But what if you're there in the coffee shop, you hear the conversation, and you turn, and it's your friend? All of a sudden, your commitment level to the garbage counsel that he or she was getting changes. It's totally a different scenario. Because you have a right to say, and you might choose to say, you know, I disagree with that. Or you might be less bold, and when you see that person alone, say, you know, that counsel you were getting, that's wrong. That's not how the Bible would approach that situation. You see, in each of these scenarios, the fact that the person is a friend changes the way you ought to respond. It changes your responsibility to speak into that relationship or speak into that situation. See, not every relationship in life earns you the right to comment. Not every relationship in life earns you the right to share your opinion or to give counsel. Friends are people that have earned that right by nature of friendship. When you choose to come alongside of someone and share your life together, remember the definition that we've had of friend, you are giving over the rights to speak into that relationship. In God's goodness toward the human race, and I would even go as far as saying, in common grace because of friendships that are common to humanity, God has given us this relational sphere to help us to be shaped and molded and corrected. Friends are to serve as our counselors. I wonder what would happen to the industry of paid professional counselors if we were better at being friends. Now again, I'm not arguing against seeing anybody. I'm not arguing against that as a legitimate calling. I'm questioning whether we quickly go to those who are paid to give counsel because we don't have friends. Because we're not very good at being friends. Proverbs 27:9, which we read, said, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so does the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. And then Proverbs 15:22 says, without counsel plans fail, but with many advisors they succeed. So what is the description that God, through the Holy Spirit, inspiring the words here of Solomon, what are the words that he gives to describe the counsel of friendship? Ointment and perfume. Ointment and perfume have similar but complementary functions. Ointment is a healing salve, isn't it? It's given so that healing can happen. And perfume is similar. Perfume is able to help in the healing, but it also helps to cover up the smell, doesn't it? It helps to keep that from stinking. And here God says, the counsel of a friend is like that. It's an ointment to help heal. And it's a perfume that's maybe going to cover up the smell. Counsel is both used among friends to heal, and it's used to help beautify. It helps strengthen us. It helps to make us whole. It helps to make us well. This is the counsel of a friend. Jonathan Holmes, who writes a nice little book on friendship, says, the mark of friends counseling one another is often absent from modern friendships, even in the church. But in a truly biblical friendship, we desire to spur one another on to greater Christ-likeness. It is a living out the one another's of Scripture together. In biblical friendship, counseling can and should thrive naturally. If you think about your friendships, do you have a right to speak into the life of another? To give counsel, even when it hurts? To say, you know, I think the path that you're on is going to end in disaster. If you have no one with whom you have earned that right, I would encourage you to deepen your friendships. And again, if there is no one in your life that is able to give you counsel and to speak hard words to you, you may be protecting yourself, but you're protecting yourself from greater Christ-likeness. We are called to give and to receive counsel as friends. Holmes would go on to challenge much of our modern friendships. And he would say, too often our friendship lacks this mark of godly counsel, and it seeks to build one another up. Many men like to surround themselves with drinking buddies, golf partners, or gym friends. Women often form friendships around dance practices, soccer games, scrapbook parties, or Pinterest. It is rare to find friendships seeking a higher goal than personal happiness and comfort. What we need most in this area are friendships oriented to Christ's glory. Now, if you hear those examples, golf and gym and going to the bar and Pinterest and soccer practice, and you say, you know, those are all offensive, that's ridiculous, you're missing the point. The point is that we often form our friendships around things that are safe. Things where there is no depth. Sitting at soccer practice, chit-chatting about what's going on the field and giving superficial discussion about education is not friendship. There is no ability to counsel there. And men, if your friendships are formed around things that are mentioned here or similarly masculine things, but there's no ability to confront one another and to seek Christ-likeness in another's life, you are failing at friendship. Go back to the proverb. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. You know, another way of translating this is they rejoice the soul. So too does the counsel of a friend. The counsel of a friend rejoices the soul. You say, well, Pastor Nathan, you said it's going to hurt. You said it might hurt. You said it might offend me. Friends, if we are in Christ, anything that brings us in greater conformity to Jesus Christ ought to rejoice your soul, even if it hurts. Friendship has been devalued to the point where there is so little soul counsel that happens today. I mean, think about your week, and I'll think about mine. And in a lot of ways, I'm in that sphere of paid professionals to talk to people about problems, right? That's part of what you pay me to do. So it may be easier for me to say, well, I talked to this person and this person and this person and this person. But when I do the self-confrontation and ask, who have I counseled that is not in a congregation relationship with me, but those that are my friends, I think we'd have equally low numbers. Counsel is to rejoice the soul. It is part of what God has intended friendships to be. And again, we're not being jerks. We're not just running around confronting everybody that we care about. But we're giving counsel, saying hard things from the soul to the soul. And for what purpose? For healing, for beautification, not to harm. This is not telling off your friends. This is giving godly counsel that may sting, but is for the point of rejoicing the soul. If you have friendships like this where you're able to confront and your friend is able to confront you and you're counseling one another, especially from the Word of God, these may be among your most important relationships in your entire life. The blogger Tim Challies wrote an article in 2014 called "The Myself I Was Yesterday." And in that article, he encouraged men to recapture something of the biblical idea of male friendship. So he's speaking specifically to the men in the article. And this is what he writes. And then he'll quote somebody, but I'll tell you when he does. Friendship is worth the fight. It is worth the fight in finding men with whom I genuinely enjoy spending time and with whom I love to share experiences. But even more, it is worth the fight in finding men who will make me a better man. And then he quotes Gordon MacDonald. There is a certain niceness to friendship where I can be, as they say, myself. But what I really need are relationships in which I will be encouraged to become better than myself. Myself needs to grow a little each day. I don't want to be the myself I was yesterday. I want to be the myself that is developing each day more and more to be a Christ-like person. Friends, this is what biblical friendship does in providing counsel. If you want to be yourself, you are not wanting something that the Scriptures want from you. The Scriptures want you to be like Christ. And in part, that is why God has given us friends, to counsel us in that way. To say, you know, when you did that, when you treated the waitress that way in the restaurant, that was horrible. Only a friend can really get away with that. Only a friend can get away with telling you like it is. And calling you to be conformed to the Scriptures. This is the sole counsel that friendships are able to provide. Biblical friends are used of God to bring out the image of Jesus Christ that is within us. Good friends, real biblical friends, God uses them much like He uses the means of grace. He uses them to encourage us and to build us up and to perfect us and to counsel us and to teach us. This is what friendship does. Solomon, as an old man, reflecting on friendships in the book of Ecclesiastes, we read from chapter 4, he says, two are better than one, for they have a good reward for their toil. If they fall, one's there to lift him up. Woe to the one who's alone and doesn't have one to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can you keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. See, it doesn't take much observation of the culture around us, and even the culture of American evangelicalism, to realize the point that Solomon is making here. We are so individualistic. And because of that individualism, we protect ourselves from friendships. We protect ourselves from being hurt and being confronted or being strengthened, as Solomon tells us here in Ecclesiastes. God did not intend it to be that way. God intended these biblical friendships as a means of counseling. Solomon realizes this, and the point of the big book, as our young people are learning, is the vanity of life and everything under the sun. And he gives three examples that are to encourage us towards that strengthening of friendship. He says, what if someone's falling? Who's going to catch him? Well, if he's got a friend there, the friend will catch him. Or what if you're cold at night? And we go right to sexuality when we see this. But two men sharing a bed is not an odd thing in the ancient world. Who's going to keep you warm? Or if somebody starts a fight with you, who's going to say, hold my coat? That's a friend, isn't it? And Solomon ends with, if two are good, how about three? And what he's doing is he's encouraging us to put those around us that would be able to give that counsel. That counsel that, when I'm falling, you'll pick me up. When I'm cold, you'll keep me warm. When I'm needing someone to fight next to me, you'll have someone hold your coat. That is how counseling works in a friendship. It is strengthening. It is warming. It does go to battle with you. So as Solomon observes and meditates on in this tiny section, the lack of friendship under the sun, he realizes that, there's a number of reasons to seek these types of counseling. Friendship, that individualism at all costs has a great cost. It costs us Christ-likeness. And in some ways, it can cost you your soul. How does Christ want us to live? As merely privatized individuals, protecting ourselves from the hurt that friendships can bring? No, he calls us to friendships where it's safe to confront. Friendships where counseling one another, even though it hurts, we realize this is ointment for my soul. This will beautify me before God. This will conform me more and more to the image of Jesus Christ. See, we can talk about falling in the Christian life. If you're falling without a friend, who cares? And if those around you that you call your friends are watching you fall, but not doing anything to help pick you up, they are not friends. And if you are cold and you are in need of warmth, and there are those around you that say, you know, it's really too bad they're cold, it's not a friend. And if you're being attacked, if you're falling under attack, and one is watching from the sidelines, he or she is not your friend. Because counseling requires all three of these things. There will be times when you are on the ground and you need a biblical friend to pick you up. There are times when you are cold and you need that biblical friend to come and to give you that warmth, to counsel you that your heart may be warmed even to Christ again. And there may be times when you're under attack and the friend steps in and says, "Brother, sister, I will fight this battle with you." Those are your friends. Those are the ones that will give you godly counsel in each of those aspects. We find what the Proverbs call soul counsel. The friend brings this. It's like ointment to a wound. And it's like perfume. And it comes even to your soul. This is part of biblical friendship. May we seek those friendships for the glory of Christ. Amen.